Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on Big Willie 105.5 and the River Talk Radio Network, a River Network production.
Mr. Big Willie's going to be joining us after the 8 o'clock news, and then your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to go see Joe D. Messina at the concert at the Capitol. And then also, before the show, you can go backstage and meet her. Oh, yeah. And so we're going to be getting names, winners, every day for the next couple of weeks or so. We'll have a big drawing. And if we draw your name, you get to go. How cool is that? So we've got all that coming up. We've got Dimitri Graffiti coming up also with our special guest, Laura Wakin-Chapin, state's senator. But before I get back to her, if you want to take a look at my Facebook profile page, another screw up by Channel 7. It's absolutely unbelievable. It just never ends with them. It just never ends. So take a look at it. It's a clown show. It just never ends. Anyway, back with our very special guest here, Laura Wakin-Chapin. So Laura, who exactly is running against you? Who do they put up to run against you for the Republican primary for state senate, first district here in the Northern Panhandle?
Well, just by way of background, the RINAs are coming after all the good conservative Republicans, unfortunately. Mike Azinger, who is in, I believe, the third district, he has an opponent. Roland Roberts, who's a pastor down in Raleigh County, he has an opponent. Darren Thorne, a farmer out close to the Eastern Panhandle, but in the rural part, he has an opponent. So there's this concerted effort to try to take out the conservatives.
Who's paying for this?
Go ahead.
Who's paying for this? Soros?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it's actually a combination of lobbyists around the state who aren't happy with our conservatives,
Which lobbyists?
Well, I know that the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce is not happy with me over some of the issues that we brought up. They were against vaccination changes to policy, and that kind of is bizarre to me because it has nothing to do with business. The manufacturers, so my opponent is a former Democrat, and he was over the Manufacturers Association, so I assume that they had something to do with it, too. And then, of course, the senators who are RINAs, they're trying to get back into power, and so they need to take the conservatives out. And so they've been recruiting. But I'm not concerned. I've done a great job for the Northern Panhandle. I work very hard. I'm always accessible to my constituents, and I always do the right thing, even when it's hard. And they're coming after me because I can't be bought and because I'm effective. So I've been a strong voice for the Northern Panhandle. Like I said, I have a good relationship with the governor, which means something. I mean, if we need a project in the Northern Panhandle, I mean, I can't guarantee it, but at least I, you know, can call him up and tell him about it. And he's very receptive to the Northern Panhandle. He came to the Northern Panhandle a lot, especially during the flooding. And I think he has a special soft spot for the Northern Panhandle because he is from the Eastern Panhandle, but he understands that the Northern Panhandle has a lot of, energy potential. We have so much energy underneath our feet that is untapped, and also economic development potential. And so I think that he is focused on the Northern Panhandle, and like I said, he and I have a pretty good relationship.
Is it good enough to convince him to be a guest on Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local?
I'll check with him. I should see him tonight after the State of the State.
Okay, that would be a no, but all right. I'll try anyway if you would. All right, Northern Panhandle, Hancock County. Is there anything in Hancock County that is not utterly dysfunctional these days? Anything at all with the government and government handouts with this from energy or form energy thing that is not completely dysfunctional?
Well, I'm not for these subsidies for private businesses. I did vote for Form Energy because the Hancock County people wanted jobs, and it was going to pass whether my vote was given or not. But what I think needs to happen is we need to reduce the regulatory burden, which we did work on last year. We have one-stop permitting, and we have worked on occupational licensing. So if you're a plumber out in Alaska, you can move to West Virginia and get immediately licensed instead of waiting 6 months.
Right, but Laura, back to Form Energy. Form Energy, I don't care about Alaskan plumbers, with all due respect. I care about Form Energy getting hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer dollars and producing squat. I mean, just apparently nothing. Where do we stand with that? Can we get our money back? Did they live up to their end of the bargain of creating 750 jobs for West Virginians? Is anybody overlooking or overseeing this thing? Is anybody in charge of this thing?
Well, I do not believe that they have met the benchmark for these 750 jobs. I believe that they had a 5-year contract. So as long as they, I guess, are paying, paying something, they get the building after 5 years. So I am looking into that issue. That was a lot of, that is a lot of money, and it was about $300 million from the state, and they also got federal government subsidies. So I think it was closer to $1 billion.
All right. How is anyone in West Virginia in charge of this to make sure that they're living up to their end of the agreement and creating 750 jobs? And if not, can we get our money back?
Yeah, I mean, if they breach the agreement, I believe we can. We either get the money back or we get to keep the building, which the building is worth a lot of money. The economic development chair should be looking into this.
Who is
and
that?
I'll make sure he does.
Who is that?
Senator Glenn Jeffries.
Is he one of us or one of them?
Well, it depends on the issue. He's
about,
one of the...
How about this issue?
well, he's one of the ones who used to be a Democrat and is now a Republican, but he does work really hard for the state. He's sort of coming around on the good issues, but no, he was one that voted for the Tacuba Amendment.
Man, God. What about the Hancock County schools? Can we fire the superintendent and the entire school board and take it over so that we get rid of these incompetents?
So, yes and no. The State Board of Education can come in and do that. I don't believe that they will. So we actually are working. I'm working with Pat McGeehan on a piece of legislation because Hancock County schools cannot make payroll this month. And so there'll be a suspension of rules, which I hate to do because there's a constitutional rule that we have to read a bill for 3 days straight. That way people know what they're voting for. But we are going to suspend the rules and run it out because it's not fair to ask teachers, cooks, bus drivers to work without getting paid. But there will be a $10 million revolving account. It's a loan, and it must be paid back, and there will be accountability measures in there because it is taxpayer money, and people deserve to know what happened to it.
Why can't we fire this incompetent superintendent and this incompetent school board? That's what I don't understand. These are the people responsible for this mess, giving jobs to all of their relatives and friends and not paying attention and overspending, and no amount of money is ever enough for them, just, you know, increase the real estate taxes and all that. Why can't we fire these people?
So, again, we don't control the Board of Education. That's the only agency that we do not have legislative oversight about. So it really is up to them, and it's my understanding that they're not, at least at this time, intending to go into Hancock County and take it over. I think you've seen throughout the state that they have done that in other counties, but it's my understanding they don't intend to do it in Hancock.
Unbelievable. So you're a lawyer, you're a Republican, you're in Ohio County. Help me understand about this other lawyer who is a Republican in Ohio County, Elgin Motorcycle Mama McCardle. What exactly is going on with her?
You know, I don't know. She used to be the Ohio County chair, and then she was the state party chair.
Right.
And I've seen, you know, the news, but I actually haven't really been following it. So I'm not sure, long and short.
All right. Do people down in Charleston call her Motorcycle Mama McCardle, or is that just me?
No, that's just you. That's the first time I ever heard it. Does she drive a motorcycle?
Well, no, just a different pagan motorcycle gang members and all that.
Right,
she represented them. Yeah, it's just beyond insane. It really is beyond insane. So, Laura, what is the next big thing, big issue coming up that the media has not covered but is really, really important? I want to give my listeners a heads up what they should be on the lookout for. How close are we, for example, to eliminating real estate property taxes in West Virginia?
I think that we are, I mean, listen, I'll never not vote for a tax cut as long as it doesn't hurt our schools or our counties. But what I would say is I think that the priority this session is for the income tax. We did do a little bit of real estate tax relief for 90% disabled veterans. I would love to see that expanded to all veterans. And, you know, just kind of chip away at it a little bit at a time. I think if Ohio goes through with that proposal, I mean, that's something that we really need to force the issue on, because I can see a mass exodus to Ohio.
Oh, no question. So back to this income tax. Are you saying you want to eliminate the state income tax?
Yeah, I think that will, first of all, it'll help retirees. And I actually have several tax relief bills, you know, to try to exempt pensions and things like that to encourage people to come to West Virginia and retire if they so choose. And I think that if we can get the income tax down to zero, it will really help encourage more people to move here. I mean, as you know, it's the best place to live and raise a family. And I think that more and more people are realizing that, but we are taxed to death. And so we really need to take a hard look at what taxes we can get rid of and get rid of them.
Is Morrissey going to be behind this 100% to eliminate the income tax in West Virginia?
Yes, that's one of his agenda items.
How close are we to making this happen? How realistic is this? How realistic is this, period?
Well, we do have a budget surplus, and then I think Morrissey was asking for a 2% across-the-board reduction in agency costs, which I support anyway. These agencies have way too much money. And so I think if we can make the math work, we can do a pretty sizable chunk. I don't think we can get to zero this time. But it is, as we expand and grow the tax base, the taxpayer base, we'll be able to do more and more tax relief. But we need people to move to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Laura, you've been a wonderful guest. Live exclusive interview, Laura Wakeham Chapman. I always give my guest the last word to say anything that, in this case, that she wants to say directly to our listeners. I just sit back. I hand you my microphone. It's a great opportunity for you to repeat key points that you made during our exclusive interview this morning on Big Willie 105.5. Bring up new points. Tell people what to be on the lookout for. Tell them how to get in touch with you. So, Laura Wakeham Chapman, my microphone is yours.
Thank you very much. Anybody can call me on my personal cell phone. I only have one cell phone, 304-280-2765. 280-2765. And I'm still fighting for the Northern Panhandle. My big priority this time is utility costs. We're a regulated state, and we need to make sure that there's a moratorium on any rate increases until we figure out why we have the highest utility rates in the nation when we have an abundance of West Virginia energy and other resources. We can't afford it, and I'm going to fight to make sure that we figure out why we are paying so much money.
If people want more information, how do they get in touch with you in addition to your phone?
They can go to my Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram to learn more about what I'm doing around our district and also in Charleston. And that is Laura, L-A-U-R-A, 4-F-O-R-W-V, as in West Virginia. And that's on all three platforms. Or you can email me at laura4wv@gmail.com.
All right. And you accept donations, is that right?
I do. There's a link on my website, which is lauraforwv.com.
All right, great. Any final thoughts, Laura?
No, we got to keep fighting the good fight. Our state is on the right track, and we just need to make sure that we take care of, what we can and make it an even better place to raise a family, work, and live.
All right. Anytime you want to come on, just say the word. We'll be more than happy to have you on to help spread the word. The local media is just beyond useless, and they're full of liberals and leftists and all that, so you're not going to get a break from any of them. We know that. But you got a friendly microphone right here. Anytime you want to come on, anytime you want to come in, just say the word, okay?
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks again. Laura Wakin-Chapman, ladies and gentlemen, and one of the good guys. So let's hope that she wins her race against this rhino, this former Democrat. All right, we're going to take a short break here for the news, and then Mr. Big Willie himself is going to be joining us. I was very disappointed. I was hoping that this Elgin motorcycle mama McCardle had caught on in Charleston, but apparently it has not, at least not yet. Hopefully that'll change. Motorcycle gangs. Elgin, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Oh, well, we have a presumption of innocence, so we'll see what happens with that. Dimitri, live and dangerously local. Download the River Network app.